Thanks, Fiona.
This morning's reading is from the first chapter of the Bible, from Genesis chapter 1. And if you've picked up a church Bible, it can be found on page 3. Genesis chapter 1, starting from verse 20. And God said, Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the waters teem, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, Be fruitful, and increase in number, and fill the water in the sea, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done.
Ben, nice to see you. Some of you come along. Well, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, please. Page 3. Under the blessing, I have been thinking quite some time now about the topic of blessing. What does it mean when we ask God to bless somebody? Well, we all sort of know what it means. Lord, will you just bless them? But then when you stop and ask yourself a question, well, what exactly am I asking for God to do? Well, then I get into slight difficulties. My mind gets a wee bit disturbed, and I think, what am I really asking? What am I really trying to get from the Lord for these people? Is it just a catch-all thing? I can't think of what to really pray for them, so I'll just say, Lord, just bless them. Or is there a content in that word? So that's the kind of background for me starting this personal investigation into what it means when we ask God to bless, and what does God's blessing mean? So I begin in Genesis chapter 1, where you have three blessings. Genesis chapter 1 and the first bit of chapter 2. God blessing the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing. God blessing humanity that he had made in his own image. And God blessing the seventh day, the Sabbath day, the work of the day that work had been finished, the day that God rested and contemplated and enjoyed looking over what he had made. With the great creatures and with humanity, there is a word that is translated God created, which only is used with God as the subject. It is bara in Hebrew. It is God only creating, a special creation, a particular work of God. Up to this point, we have God making, God doing, God saying, but apart from Genesis 1 verse 1, which is the opening verse for the whole of the creation story, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, it's here that you find God doing a special work, and it's here that you find God blessing. Up to this point, there's been let there be's. What does the blessing of God mean for the creatures and for man and woman made in the image of God? It is, I want to suggest to you, a maybe. God is opening up all sorts of possibilities. Up to this point, it's been let there be and it was so. Now at this point, it's kind of an unfolding of the let there be. It is, here are the maybes that are innumerable, uncountable, the maybes that are unimaginable for you at this particular moment, but as you follow me and obey me and fulfill your purpose that I have laid upon you and planned for you, all sorts of maybes are opened up. It's a freedom within limits. It's the golden time that primary school teachers and primary school pupils love. It's freedom to do anything you want, but certain limits within that. It's freedom to fulfill your destiny as that which I have made you for. To the great creatures, it is the freedom to fill the earth and populate it. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and morning, the fifth day. God's blessing of the creatures is for them to fulfill their particular destiny with a measure of freedom. God doesn't say, this is exactly how you must do this. You must go here and not there. He says, generally, fill the earth. Work it out within the sovereign plans of God. And even more so for humanity, God blessed them, verse 28, and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So God's blessing to them is a blessing of freedom, of a blessing to fulfill their own destiny within the sovereignty of God, this strange mixture of two things that seem almost opposite to each other, freedom and sovereignty, and yet are held together in tension in the blessing of God on the people that he has made. Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. The creation mandate. God created the garden. He made a garden for them to live in. And then God says, go now and become gardeners in this world. Take the raw materials of this world and turn it into something beautiful and useful for human flourishing. And so they are to go out in the maybes of God. The plan was, here we go, you've got a world in front of you with all its mountains and hills and seas, valleys and plains. Go and make a garden of this place for human flourishing and God's glory. Without a gardener, there is no such thing as a garden. The story is told of the minister who went along to see one of his parishioners. And he looked over the garden fence and he said, well, with God's help, you've done a great job in this garden. And the gardener, who was a bit of a rogue, said, well, you should have seen what this was like before, when God had it before I came here. Without a gardener, there is no garden. Without God's gardeners in his world, there is wilderness. There is no garden itself for human flourishing. Admittedly, there are some places in creation where very light touch would be needed, that you would not need to do a great deal to improve on what you meet there. But even then, even in the groves of the sequoia redwood and in even in the rainforests and the fertile plains, there's still something that can be done to improve and make it fit for human flourishing. God's maybes. And it's not just gardening. All human activity is a form of gardening in one sense. It's that Tim Keller spoke in a talk and said the same kind of thing. He said, what you do is you get the raw materials of this world, this earth, this universe, this place that we live, and you put them together in order for human flourishing. For example, you take the random sounds of music, of notes, and you put them together in a particular order and fashion, and you make something beautiful, something ordered, something that helps humanity flourish. For without music, we are and would be less than we are. Or you take the raw materials of paint and colour, and if you just drop them on the floor, you get a modern art, perhaps, but you don't get something that's ordered and beautiful for human flourishing. And so the artist will take the paint or the media, the raw materials, and put these things together in a way that is beautiful, because we need beauty to flourish. Or the author will take, out of the millions of words that there are, will take his portion of words, put them into order, so you've got a story that helps human people flourish as well. We need stories. Or the accountant or the banker will take the raw materials of finance, will put them together, will leverage loans so that people can go and do creative things for the flourishing of humanity. All cultural activity is a form of gardening, if you can reduce it down to that. And this is God's great maybes for humanity. May there be, under my blessing, music, art, finance, accountancy, all the interesting things in life. God's blessing and under his blessing. Now, I want to turn with you to the New Testament, to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll read together from verse 1. So, under the blessing in the Old Covenant, there were the maybes of God. And here now we have the spiritual blessings of God in Christ. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Because he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who was a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. It's one long sentence in the original, beginning at verse 3 and ending at verse 14, and you would need to have very, very good lung power to say that without having to pause in different places. So there may be commas, but there are no full stops all the way through. It's one outpouring of worship by Paul to the Father and the teaching of doctrine at the same time. And it is one outpouring of worship for one big salient truth. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now he says, let me show you what I mean by that. Let me continue to pour out my heart in worship as I meditate upon that great truth that God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Here for Paul is all the maybes that there are for us in Christ, all the let there be's, the movement out of freedom and golden time for us in the new covenant. He has blessed us by his sovereign choice of us. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. He chose us for sanctification, for holiness. He chose us for adoption, for standing in his sight in love. We who deserve wrath and condemnation, the opposite of love, the abandonment for our sins, our transgressions, our stepping over the mark, our rebellion and ingratitude towards God, we who deserve no blessing in Christ receive amazing blessing, a standing before him in love, a choice upon us before the world was made, before he said, let there be light, and there was light, before he created man and woman in his image and gave them the great cultural mandate, before all these things, a choice of God, of his people. And for that reason, we should not become discouraged with failure, for God saw all these things before they took place, and in his sovereign blessing, determined that they would not stump him or cause him to stop his will and purpose. God's great maybes in Christ, his sovereign choice, and then his adoption of us, not merely a forgiveness, but adopted by him, predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. And his lavish generosity of blessing in accordance with his pleasure and will, verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. The riches of his grace, verse 8, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. To the praise of the glory of his grace, verse 12. To the praise of his glory, verse 14. God's lavish generosity, his blessings pouring out upon us. It is like God has his arms around a massive bundle of promises and presents. And they're falling off. There are so many of them. He can't keep hold of them. And he's throwing them out and laying them down in his great blessing for all of us who are in Christ. The lavishness of his gift and the purposeful destiny of God, that God is going to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. We are worrying somewhat about the problems of resurgent Islam. The fact that in Europe the birth rate in every country is, if not below replacement level, very close only to replacement level. And in many Muslim families, the birth rate is far higher. And so people who look at the demographics say, in not many years to come, the population of the traditional established Europeans will be going down. That's part of the reason why Greece is in such a mess, because there are four grandparents of every one worker in the country. Their birth rate has just fallen, and so they haven't got people to fund the generous and lavish pensions that they have there. It's one of the reasons, but don't digress so much. The great anxiety that many people are feeling about resurgent Islam and what it might mean for the future has not got God by surprise. He is working out all things in the purpose of his own good will and pleasure, to reach their fulfillment and bring all things together in heaven and earth under one head, even Christ. It would not surprise me if God decided to do something like this, to bring into Europe, dead on its feet, Christian speaking wise, to bring into Europe a group of people full of zeal, convert them for his own glory and praise, and turn them around to become the evangelists of Europe and the evangelists of the world. It is not beyond him to do that. It is not beyond the sovereign Lord. In the meantime, of course, there may be many, many, many trials, many martyrdoms, many hardships to endure. But it's not beyond God. We believe as sovereign God, and we're under many of his maybes in Christ. And the highest point of the blessing that we have from God is the receiving of the Holy Spirit. In him you are marked with a seal, having believed, the promised Holy Spirit, the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. The deposit is usually something of the same kind. You get a deposit of money as a token of more money coming. You get a deposit of some produce as a token of more produce to follow. You get a deposit of the Holy Spirit and an amazing freedom in the Holy Spirit to worship Christ and witness to him. The Holy Spirit is only given to us as a deposit now. What will we know when we receive our full inheritance of the Holy Spirit, when we see Jesus and he is revealed? Only the greatest sanctified imaginations can start to dwell upon that. All these manifold blessings, spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, all the maybes that there are in Christ. Well, so what? What does this mean practically? Well, there are three things I want us to think about practically, in terms of our worship, in terms of our witness, and in terms of our warfare. The blessing of God in terms of our worship. Paul begins this long sentence with that word praise, translated with the NIV. In the original, and in other translations, it's blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the NIV translation turns that word blessed in many other instances into praise. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 1, where Peter starts his letter with an outpouring of worship, the NIV translates the word blessed be the God and Father to praise be to the God and Father. And now I know why they do it. They do it because they want to preserve the honour and majesty of God. They want you to realise that we are not on the same par with God. God blesses us, but we don't bless him in the same way as he blesses us. Therefore, we have to use a word that expresses something of that meaning of blessed, but preserves the honour and glory of God. So we use the word praise. We praise God. We don't bless him, we praise him. I think you lose something when you don't use that original word in translation. Because it is the notion that as you become aware of the blessings of God pouring down upon your head from heaven, or the blessings of God that are stored up in Christ in the heavenly realms for us, our adoption, our sanctification, our mark of the Holy Spirit, that as we become aware of these things falling into our hands, we turn our hands back up to restore the blessing to God and say, blessings have come upon me now, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a reflexive thing. Yes, it means praise. But you lose the idea of blessing for blessing. Blessing as a response to blessing. Now, I don't know if you are too sophisticated and too grown up to like that hymn, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. Can you finish it? For it will... See, you all know it, don't you? You all do know it. But as a spiritual exercise, from time to time, it is good to count blessings. Natural, physical, health, wealth, time, these kind of blessings, to count them. The fact that when we put a tap on in the morning, you get cold running water that you can drink. Or you turn the other tap and you get hot running water that you can wash in. But you don't have to go down to a well half a mile away, get a bucket of water as you wait for it to trickle through the taps, then walk another half a mile back. And then use some of it for cooking and some of it for washing. And then do the same trail again the second time in the day. What a blessing it is to have water. What a blessing it is to have electricity. Whoever discovered that and invented electric light, amazing thing. What a blessing to have food on the table. Oh, these things that so easily we take for granted. Count your blessings. And as God has blessed us with material blessing, we in turn bless God. Lord, I bless you for what? My salary, my work that I do, the clothes that I wear, the family that I have, the children that I have, the friends that I have, blessings that are natural blessings, as it were. And then before you even start onto the spiritual blessings that there are for us in Christ. And Paul turns away from the concrete old covenant idea of blessing to the new covenant spiritual idea of blessing. Worship. As God blesses us, we worship him in return. Witness. What kind of person are you at heart? Are you a person that creates the maybes for other people? Or are you a person that closes down the maybes for them? Are you a no person? Or are you a yes kind of person? Some of you by temperament may be no, but by grace can become yes. One of the jobs I did before I did my present job, I was a market researcher. And going out knocking on people's doors, even though you've already sent a letter and they've been introduced, can be a wee bit discouraging. But there was one place I went to, and he must have seen me coming because he came out of the house and walked towards his garage, and he didn't even listen to anything I said. He just said, no. I said, good morning, no. I said, hello there, no. Have you got my letter? No. And he just walked. He didn't even then listen to anything else I said. He just walked towards the garage just saying, no, no, no. Now, the rules governing market research say that you're not allowed to shoot your clients. So that option wasn't open for me, and I left my gun behind anyway. But there are some people who are like that. The default position is to say, I'm not sure, or no, or not yet. Are you a generous, are you a yes kind of person? Are you a blessing kind of person? In power tools, many of them, there's a device called a no vote return. It's the on button that if, when you're using this, there happens to be a break in current and the machine goes off, the button goes set to zero again, so that if the power comes back on, you won't be caught in the machinery as it starts up unexpectedly. A no voltage return button. The default position is off. Is your default position off? Or is your default position on? Power always being there. Blessing and generosity always being there. Worship. Witness. Witness to your family, to your friends. Witness to that needy world out there. The things that you do that cost you time, effort and money to serve people, often from which you get very little reward or fruit. It's still being a yes person, a person that creates maybes for other people. It is a witness. And the third W is warfare. If you look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Notice what Paul says about the warfare. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The place of blessing is the place of warfare. And I think we need to remember that, particularly when times of trial come upon us and things don't work out the way you thought they should have worked out or ought to have worked out. Personally speaking, leaving the Church of Scotland has not helped my career or my opportunities as a pastor or preacher. I could have stayed as chaplain in the presbytery of Dundee. I could have got locum work in Dundee, quite a lot of locum work. Lots of things could have happened and continued for me not leaving the Church of Scotland. There's been a drop, there's been a diminishing, and I've had to take another kind of job, do other work. Does that mean it was the wrong thing for me to leave the Church of Scotland as I did? No, it wasn't. Because you do not judge by feeble sense. We, as the hymn says, we judge by what is right. And the place of blessing is the place of struggle, the place of warfare. I don't know here, Dominic becoming ill, was that a sign that you did the wrong thing in leaving the Church of Scotland? this place has for generations, 3 or 4 generations at least, been a place where the evil one has been unmasked and his ways fought and prayed against. Do you think that you get a free pass, or that somehow or other he'll let you off when you do something like leaving the Church of Scotland so that the gospel can prosper? Do you expect to have uniform success without conflict and warfare? No, we don't. Because the place of blessing is the place of warfare. Under the blessing of God, a place to worship and witness, a place to fight, a place to rest in the goodness and grace of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have taken us into a good and spacious place, that in Jesus Christ there is a fullness of blessing. Thank you that you bless us every day. You open for us freedoms in your sovereign will. You lay before us new paths, new thoughts. Thank you that you call us to be a blessing, to bless this city that this congregation and gathering is placed in, to bless the street and the people that walk by outside, to be a blessing through prayer to many other fellowships in Scotland and beyond, to be the means under God's grace of people coming to know Jesus Christ and his blessing. So will you bless us today? Will you bless those who are weary with strength? Will you bless those who are confused with faith? Will you bless those who are sad and mourning with endurance and joy? Will you bless us? And we will bless you in return, for we have seen and tasted that the Lord is good. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're the Word of God the Father.